In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer. Also on 1520 WBZW on Sunday nights. And, of course, you can always listen to us now on your Alexa devices. Always on AM660TheAnswer.com. And, of course, you can download the free Answer Orlando app into your smart devices. So, once again, welcome to the show. And hope you can stick with us the full 3 hours tonight. It is our 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour. And then, of course, after us tonight will be Mark Walters with Armed American Radio. And, boy, does he have a lot to talk about tonight with the Parkland shooting this past weekend. The reaction and the fallout, you might say, from it. And, of course, we're going to be discussing that tonight. And we're also going to be discussing the Russia indictments and some other things as well. Our divas will be joining us in the third hour of the show, Kathy Santomassino with some of Sunday's odd stories. And Sunny, our gorgeous lady of wrestling, will join us live from California, where in the midst of what just happened in Parkland here in Broward County, Governor Jerry Brown has signed into law a state law which prohibits teachers and school staff who have concealed weapons carry permits from carrying their weapons on school property in order to protect the students.
Yeah, he's more interested in protecting criminals. I understand that.
Evidently so. All right, of course, that voice can belong to none other than the shrieking but still firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Kahn. You're looking better and better from week to week, Aubrey.
Yeah, 30 pounds now and
30 down
and in 4 weeks.
Wow. And so you're well on your way to your goal. That's three tenths,
right?
You're like a third of the way there.
Yeah, but I'm still twice the man my mother was,
so. Yeah, wow. That goes without saying, but you can really see an astonishing difference in Aubrey since he is doing Dr. St. Germain's burn fat system.
Right.
All right.
Great program.
Yeah, we'll get him to give us maybe a little bit more in-depth update here in a few minutes. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. On the bridge is none other than Jeff Sinis.
You can't see me.
That's right, but he's there. And if you want to hear him on the phone lines and talk to us, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. Okay, so every now and then I come up with a theme for the Sunday night show, and even more rarely, but occasionally I might come up with a theme for the drive time show. But every now and then on Sunday nights, I do it. And today's theme is misplaced anger, because there's a whole lot of it going around, especially after the events of the past week and really since the election. But it seems to have hit a crescendo of sorts this past week with the shooting in Parkland. And then added on to that, finding out the FBI blew two cherry-picked tips that should have allowed some sort of intervention here, even if it was just a visit by agents to the kid's house and asking questions and letting him know that he was on the radar. But that aside, once again, the theme for tonight is misplaced anger. And this is something that the media, the mainstream media, is very good at creating and directing. As a matter of fact, you might say that's what they're in the business of doing. And pretty much nothing else. Everything else kind of revolves around that. That they are there to get you angry about something. And, of course, it's what they want you to be angry about. And therefore, so that you will be willing to act as they want you to act. We'll get to the Russian business and the misplaced anger on that a little bit later in the show. But we're going to start with the Parkland fallout. And the misplaced anger has faces. And it is the faces of these students. Five in particular, who I'm not going to name. Okay. They're getting enough attention. But unfortunately, what they are personalizing and epitomizing is misplaced anger. Now, yeah, they went through a traumatic event at their high school. Don't know really how many were actually close to the violence, but let's assume that they all were. Okay, even though it was a 45-acre school with 4,000 students, many of whom never saw a thing, maybe didn't even hear a thing. But let's assume that they all did, especially the ones who are being vocal and coming out and putting their faces on television and getting into the fray, because that's what they're doing. And they are being used in the most despicable way by the mainstream media to promote and parrot editorial positions that the mainstream media holds to, in particular having to do with gun rights. The students, as I said, let's assume that they did go through all of this trauma, but I'm very sad to say that being victimized does not give one the right to, shall we say, supersede constitutional rights. I'm very sorry. And childhood does not convey that right either. Nor does the sum of the two. Okay? Having said that, they have started this movement called March for Our Lives, which is fine. Except now, even though these students say they don't want it to be a political movement, it already is. By its very nature, it is a political movement. And then when you add into the fact that they are, in essence, parroting the liberal lines on gun control, it's a political movement, whether they like it or not. This is why we don't allow, shall we say, inexperienced people who are what young people mostly are, to make our decisions for us, because they don't have the experience to do it. So they think that just because they can go around and say that this is not political and that their elder advisors and counselors and mentors tell, oh, yeah, you're doing the right thing. This is not political. Anybody out there says it is, why, they're just some fool, idiot, don't know what they're talking about or anything like that. Let me tell you something, folks. This is the epitome of a political movement. And these kids are being used as pawns in this movement. And it's quite obvious that they have been well-versed in, shall we say, the liberal talking points. They even have their little slogans and their little sayings that they go back to over and over again. And that they... media is using their emotional state to, as I said, be the face of their editorial, that is, the media's editorial and political positions. I think this is personally most despicable. Now, the kids are welcome to do this, but for the media to glom onto it and use it in order to promote their editorial positions, I think that's despicable. Once again, though, the media is in the business of creating and directing misplaced anger. We, and once again, we'll get into this a little bit later on, but we have seen nothing but this going on, especially over the last year and a half or so since the election of President Trump. They were very good at it before then, but they amped it way up. It's like they turned the decibels way up. And that's what they're doing here. And they're using these children as a face of it. I kind of feel a little bit sorry for them, but they're being traumatized again, in my opinion. But maybe their movement, March for Our Lives, will give them a way to direct their pain and anguish and shock. That it and if they become politically active, I'm not against that. But what I am against is larger groups coming in to use this. And won't you want to bet that people like George Soros are already plotting and planning and moving on assisting the March for Our Lives movement. Now, in a plea to quit debating and sit down and start discussing, once again, this is why we don't let inexperienced people make our decisions for us. They want us to quit debating, but they want us to sit down and start discussing. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't it when you have varying viewpoints? It doesn't a discussion, isn't that tantamount to a debate when people are expressing varying viewpoints?
A debate is more formal, more restrictive in time allotments. But
so that it doesn't break down into chaos,
correct,
right?
Correct.
So, but
a discussion
oftentimes breaks down into chaos, right? Once again, this is why we don't let inexperienced people run the show, right? But so they say, okay, so you're always saying that you adults are always saying that, kind of reminded me of the 60s, don't trust anybody over 30. You adults are always talking and you never do anything, and you never want to even talk once an event happens. So we're going to have our march on March the 24th. So their March for Our Lives is set up nationwide marches in cities all around the country, in Washington, D.C. I'm sure, I'm positive there's going to be one here in Orlando. You can bet your bottom dollar on it. The only question is, how many people are going to show up? And because the media has children now to go out there and be the face of the movement, you're going to get this guilt complex going, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Like the old white guilt, now it's going to be gun guilt. Going to get gun guilt up there. And what are the children who don't want to be political? What are they saying about the NRA, for instance? That if you're with the NRA, you're against them, and you have blood on your hands.
Yeah, because you are the one who refuses to let the government eventually confiscate all legal firearms.
Once again, this is why we don't let inexperienced people run the show. Okay, first of all, the person who has blood on their hands literally, obviously, is the shooter. But if you want to look further for a responsibility, direct responsibility, then look no further than the FBI. If there's anybody that has blood on their hands, it's the FBI.
Yep, and this is not the first time either.
No. And I dare say it probably ain't going to be the last, because they're in denial, that is the FBI. The liberals are in denial. The media is in denial, or nonetheless working more at misplacing anger and directing it than getting to the truth. So they're out there now, they're criticizing the president because they're saying that the president, get this, after all of this media attention to this viewpoint being expressed by the children, they are saying that it is the president who's exploiting the shooting by daring to say that the FBI was preoccupied with other stuff rather than paying attention to protecting American citizens, and I dare say he was right on the money.
But now, forget about the last year and a half. What happened during the... Who got blamed for the 8 years of mass shootings during the Obama era? It was not President Obama.
No. No. And, you know, the only... And by the way, these children were on all of the networks, including Fox. They all got their airtime mm-hmm. on the networks. Fox was the only network that didn't give them the setup questions so that they could go off with their little slogans.
Or train them.
Yeah. I mean, they were parrots. I'm sorry. But these children were parrots. Now, maybe they were parroting things that they had been saying for a long time, but they were parroting. And yep. It sure was the liberal line that they were parroting. Okay? Every one of them. And they tried to throw in little nuggets of shall we say, bipartisanship. No, we're not trying to be partisan. We want the Republicans to come in and talk about mental health. We want the Democrats to come in and talk about gun control. I'm sorry. Saying that does not remove the other things that you are saying, which fall right in line with the liberal talking points. Mm-hmm. We got to take these guns out of people's hands. We got to prevent kids like this from getting guns. Yeah, if it can be done. Can it be done? No. You know, a Fox hostess, she's on Sundays in the 12 o'clock hour. She posed this question as though there were an affirmative answer. Let me just put it. She posed this question as though it could actually be accomplished. She says, how do we get guns out of hands of people with evil intent? You see, that is the kind of absolute utter stupidity that we're working against here. This is the problem, you stupid idiots who think this. The reason that the bad guys have guns is because they have evil intent. That's why they go out and get them and use them. And that's why it is best for people who don't have evil intent to be able to protect themselves and the rest of us from those that do. And by the way, who was it that apprehended this guy? But a cop who drew his weapon on him, who drew his gun on him. He didn't say, oh, hey there, young feller, would you sit down a minute and let me cuff you? He drew his weapon, and I'm pretty sure he probably said, hey, you sit down or I'm going to blow your brains out.
It works.
It does, except on idiots like, and she's on Fox. How do we get guns out of hands of people with evil intent? But what a moron.
Well, yes, but you know what? Let's look at it another way. We're wanting to get guns, illegal guns, off the streets. We're okay with people owning guns legally. How do we stop the illegal trade of guns?
You don't. That's
you
the
can't.
Problem. Right.
Right. But that is what she doesn't understand.
That's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is that
maybe
she's... And
that's what the children don't understand either.
Well, no, because...
They're too young to
they're
understand.
They're too young, and let's face it, most teachers are
liberals, and they have filled these children's heads
with
full
mush.
Of liberal BS.
Right.
And you hear it coming out of their mouth every time they open it. Well, and yet then they try to sound, and I love this, they're articulate. They try to sound articulate by throwing in these little nuggets every now and then. Oh, but we don't, you know, we're not being political. We don't want this to be political. So, once again, this shows that they don't know what they're talking about. Because this is by its very nature going to be and already is and has been and always will be political.
It was political within an hour of it happening.
It was, let me just tell you something. Anything having to do with issues like this are political by their very nature. As a matter of fact, when you study political science in college like this here mad scientist did, that's why I call myself the mad scientist. Okay, because I got a piece of paper that says...
You're a mad scientist.
It says
yeah.
I'm insane anyway.
Well, we can second that motion.
Is the first thing you learn is that politics, literally, if you define the word, it's the struggle for power.
Right.
Okay? Well, guess what? That goes on in all human relationships, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's on the ball field, whether it's in what we normally call politics. You see? It extends to all things of human life. Okay, we have restricted our definition of it to the very top element of it, but it starts at the very bottom because it's all about the struggle for power. And these kids have now found themselves in the middle of it, okay? And they're going to be glorified and they're going to be praised and patted on their little heads. Yes. Oh, yeah, you're doing good, children. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. And I hate to say it, but they're making damn fools of themselves. Because it's circular logic. They don't know what they're talking about, and they don't have the experience to know what life is really all about. Okay? We got to take a break. One thing life's all about is clocks running out on you. When we come back, we got Chris on the line, and you too can join us at 407-774-8255. We'll be talking more about this and something that Jay Johnson, the former Homeland Security guy, had to say about the FBI. Talk about buffoonery and morons. Right.
The guy who's never been in the military, the guy that paints pictures and is a college professor.
We'll be right back.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We went a little long in that first segment, so this will be a shortened segment. Don't forget, we're here until 8 o'clock, and then Mark Walters is going to have a whole lot to say about this, I'm sure. Let's go to Chris on the line. Thank you for calling and your patience, Chris. We appreciate you being there tonight.
Oh, no problem. I have a question. I see in the news they're already deciding what to do with the building. They want to tear it down.
Right.
I mean, what is that going to do? It just seems like, talk about misguided anger. What if this guy shot in every single building? Would they tear them all down? I don't get why you got to tear the building down. That just doesn't make any sense. That thing's probably very expensive. It's 3 stories tall. It's multiple millions of dollars.
And it's brand new. I mean, that school is fairly new. Within the last, I think, 10 or 15 years.
They're not tearing down the Mirage. I mean, the Mandalay Bay.
They're
not tearing down that church in Texas where that jerk shot everybody.
Right. Yeah. The point, their excuse is, their reasoning is, they don't want kids to have to walk by these places where students were killed, where the teacher and the coach and the other administrator were killed. It's a feel good measure. Okay.
Feel good thing.
Right. What we're seeing right now, when misplaced anger is a total. It's emotion. It's all about emotion, and that's what we see going on right now. That's why you see all the news networks, even Fox, putting these kids on the air. They're afraid that if they don't succumb to the emotion, that they're going to be vilified somehow for it. All right? Well, we're not afraid here. What we do here is we say it like it is, and usually the rest come following along eventually. So
you remember the story they had a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago or so,
yeah,
that there were these students that didn't have fathers that couldn't go to the father-daughter dance, and all these guys volunteered to go?
Yes.
Don't you think if they put out the word, we need someone to show up that wouldn't mind coming there, that former military or former police that have their guns and are willing to help people,
look,
just to be there undercover, just roaming the halls?
It is an easy solution, except for the fact that there has been no willingness to do it. Now, in Broward County, the school superintendent announced today, guess what? They're going to beef up the security in their schools. Well, howdy do. And that's what we got to do. That's how we stop this. Because you're not going to keep this. Because you're not going to keep the guns out of evil people. If you do, they'll just use a car or a bomb.
Knife.
He could have killed a lot of people just driving his car into the kids as they were coming out after the end of school. Got to take a break. Thanks, Chris. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The principal of the Florida high school where a gunman killed 17 people last week addressed the community in an emotional video message. The video, which was posted Sunday, showed an emotional Ty Thompson, the principal at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. He thanked the thousands of people around the world that have reached out to the school in emails and on social media. The evidence against the Florida school shooting suspect likely so overwhelming that the only question left for the courts, if he's convicted, is whether he will be sentenced to death or spend the rest of his life in prison. In Florida, there are generally two sentencing options for first-degree murder convictions, let alone the 17 counts with which 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz is charged, life in prison without parole or the death penalty. More details at srnnews.com.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Roxy Astor from Glow, one of the Park Avenue knockouts. When I'm not shopping or getting my nails done, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. These guys are the best when it comes to political professional wrestling. I'd step in the ring any day with these guys, but of course I'd win.
Okay, we're going to have to test that out one of these days. I don't know about that. All right, anyway, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn, 407-774-8255 is the number. You got the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour live here tonight. And we're discussing the fallout from the Parkland shooting. We'll get to back to that in just a minute. But, you know, Aubrey's been on this fat burning system, not a weight loss, but the fat burning system by Dr. St. Germain. And it's working. You're down, you said, 30 pounds?
30 pounds, yep.
And but you don't feel weak or you don't feel hungry?
Not hungry, plenty of energy. I've lost 3 inches in my waist, over 1 inch in my neck.
Can really see the difference.
Even my feet have gotten thinner. I can now wear a 3E size shoe instead of a 4E.
Now, see, this is going to be expensive. You have to buy a bunch of new clothes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy that likes to go clothes shopping, but I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you could,
I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you could just judge by the pants I'm wearing. I'm the same
You've
way.
Been wearing them for a while, yeah.
Won't be long before I won't be able to wear them at all because they'll be in
Those are your church
threads,
pants.
Threads on the floor.
Those are your church pants. They're holy.
Let's just say they're very comfortable, too. But easy to get in and out. Except when you put your leg in, it sometimes shoots out where the knee hole is, right?
Mine don't do that, but I'm not wearing a belt, they fall off now.
He talked, I hear him talking on the show about your metabolic age. What is that?
It's the age that your body actually is functioning at.
Now, can you kind of reverse the clock on that?
They can reverse it.
Oh, thank
God. Proper hydration, reducing the fat around your organs, building up muscle mass, et cetera, yes.
So it's like a fountain of youth of sorts.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why they've upped my hydration from 64 ounces a day, because my metabolic age has not started coming down yet.
Uh-huh.
Their machine can only measure up to 90 years. So I've been in my metabolic, my body's functioning age was that over 90 years of age.
Howdy do.
And it is coming down, but we still haven't broken through 90.
Wow. You got to get through the 100 mark first, I guess, right?
Maybe the 200 mark.
Oh,
I'll tell
my
you what,
Lord.
I mean, you know, I was always tired and listless and no more.
Ah, so glad to see you in better health. It's so very glad to see you in better health. Okay, so we're tonight's theme for the show is misplaced anger, and this is what the media does. This is what they're in the business of doing, creating and directing misplaced anger. And sometimes it's easier to do than others. In political, situations, it's fairly easy to do because you already have pretty much half the nation who's mad at the other side to begin with. And then when you have a situation like this, it's not always easy, but sometimes easier because you have emotion involved. And now that you have this emotion involved with these people at this high school, they are, as I said, they're carrying the water. They're being used as pawns willingly, I might add, but they're being used as pawns. They really do not know what they're doing. On the one hand, for instance, one of their spokeschildren today said they don't want it to be political. He said that in one breath, but then just a few breaths later, he said, and here's a message to Governor Rick Scott and Senator Marco Rubio. If you're not with us, you're against us. And if you're with the NRA, you've got blood on your hands. Now, how is that not political? You see,
but they've all been saying that. They've been taught to say that.
Right. And they've also been taught to say that it's not political.
Right.
And what the media is counting on is that no one is going to be willing to challenge them on it because
they're children.
Right. Okay. Well, at least in our case, that didn't work. You know, once again, victimhood nor childhood entitles anyone in our form of government, in our society, to special status when it comes to legislative or political action. And that's what they're being granted here. And because they have both, It's like a lightning rod. Better not touch it. But the problem is somebody has to touch it, because we cannot allow this emotional element to drive the debate. There are some things that can be discussed about perhaps doing in this situation. If you cannot buy a handgun before you're of the age of 21, perhaps you should not be able to buy anything other than, say, a BB gun or an air rifle.
Listen, if you can drive a motor vehicle at the age of 16 and you are considered responsible enough to handle something that weighs 2 tons and weaving in and out of traffic where there's other people and pedestrians,
yeah,
you should be able to be considered mature enough to handle a firearm.
Yes.
Either that or raise the driving age.
And that might not be such a bad idea either. But once again, I feel reluctant even to go anywhere near that, because you see the reaction. What Aubrey is in essence saying is, wouldn't do any good. Wouldn't do any good at the end of the day. And he's absolutely right, as we were saying going into the break. If this kid had not had a gun and yet was still dead set on doing what he did, he could have used an automobile. He could have, when the kids were walking out of the school, just go mowing down the sidewalk like that guy did in New York. I guarantee you, he'd have killed some students, maybe some adults, wounded and injured a bunch of others, and probably come away without a scratch on himself.
Right.
And, or, if he was smart enough, he could have built a bomb. The Boston City Bombers, the Boston Marathon Bombers, they use kitchen utensils,
right?
And instructions on the internet.
Exactly. You can get instructions to build anything on the internet.
And by the way, did you know flour is explosive? Flour. That's mm-hmm. right. What you buy down there at the Publix or Aldi's or whatever, flour that you bake biscuits and things with, is explosive.
Then maybe we need to have you show your license next time you buy flour, right?
Maybe so.
Or maybe we need more sensible flour laws.
Right. Or make special tests for people who buy or rent automobiles. Once again, it is not about guns. It is about securing and protecting people against evil in the world. And you don't do that by disarming people and making them more vulnerable. Once again, this is why we don't let the young and inexperienced run the show. Because they're too young and inexperienced. And, oh, yeah, they stood up last night and said, if you think we're too young, we got something. We call to you, was the girl was saying. We call to you BS. I'm thinking to myself, call to you BS. I don't want to get nitpicking here, but she's in high school and using that kind of grammar. So, once again, they went through a traumatic situation. Yeah, very emotional. And they're venting. They're going through this process of dealing with it. But they're being used by the mainstream media and liberals in order to promote their political agenda. Sorry, that's where we draw the line. And oh, by the way, the students who were interviewed on the day of and the night of, who were saying things that did not comport with the prevailing view amongst the liberals.
It wasn't aired.
And they cut them off, and you will no longer see them. You might, and I'm now doubtful that you would see them even on Fox, right? Because they're not,
fit
the narrative. Right. And it's not safe right now because you're dealing with children. So it's not safe to go outside the narrative, even for Fox. Right? Which is why you had this hostess today ask the brilliant question, how do we get guns out of hands of people with evil intent?
Cut off their hands.
The age-old question. Well, the problem is you don't. And that's why we have to have security. That's why we have police forces. That's why we have jails. That's why we have court systems for the most part.
And that's why we're allowed to carry firearms.
And that's why we have a lot of work ahead of us. And that, my friends, is a fact. No, you cannot call out Rick Scott, Marco Rubio, say that they have blood on their hands if they don't denounce the NRA, and then turn around and say you're not being political. Sorry, ain't going to let that happen around here. Not going to let that happen. All right, what we have let happen, though, is the clock run down on us again. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Mike Pence and how he's been ridiculed for, quote-unquote, talking to God, and how that plays into what happened in Parkland. Because somebody wasn't talking to God who should have, ought to been. We'll be right back to tell you who.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. The American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Don't forget, Mark Walters following us up at 8 o'clock. He'll take it till 11. And I'm sure it's going to be very educational talking with him and his great folks, H.R.W. Hawkins and all of them. Very knowledgeable people. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. Aubrey Kahn and myself, Christopher Hart here, 407-774-8255 is the number. And all of this craziness going on, Mike Pence has been ridiculed and criticized all week long because of his religious beliefs and his communications with God. And on the one hand, I feel kind of sorry for people like Joy Behar, as Michael Medved pronounces her name. I kind of like that. So Joy Behar, because she's got bees buzzing around in her head, right? Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and others who ridicule Mike Pence because he says he communicates with God, that God speaks to him. And they don't, even though they use phrases like that, they evidently don't believe that that is possible. Joy Behar said on her ABC show, The Puke, that anybody who believes that God talks to them is insane. Mm-hmm. She made a joke out of it. But she was being, that was her true feeling. And this is why I feel sorry for her. Because, and I've talked about this on the show before, God is willing to talk to all of us. Everybody. You don't have to be vice president. You don't have to be a priest or a rabbi. All you got to be is be. And God is within you. He, as a matter of fact, he's yakking at most of us all the damn time.
Just we choose not to listen.
That's where we tune him out. Or her out, or whatever you want to say. We've tuned God out of our lives. And the liberals have been in the business, as they have been in the business of creating and misplacing anger. In order to do that, they have also been in the business of getting God out of our lives. And one way to do that is ridicule people who take it seriously.
And well, what's another way? Not allowing you to practice your religious beliefs with your business.
Or even getting religion out of the schools, right? And it was fascinating listening to Hugh Hewitt this week as people were calling up and saying, you know, part of the problem with Parkland is that, you know, kids don't have God in their lives. They're not being exposed to God like they used to be. We need to get God back into schools. Oh, yeah, well, in 1962, Hugh Hewitt says, and he's right, the Supreme Court decided that they took God out of schools. That's it. Forget it. And then he just goes on. I mean, he just dismisses it as though it could not ever be changed. This is the beauty of our constitutional form of government. It allows for change, and it allows for Supreme Court decisions to be changed by either constitutional action or by a subsequent Supreme Court decision, which modifies or overrides previous decisions. And it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And we're in a situation right now that especially if we can get President Trump elected to a second term, he's for sure going to get another shot or two at the Supreme Court, because even though Bader Ginsburg is going to hang on until 15 minutes after she's dead, the clock don't stop. Time waits for no man, not even her, right? So, and by the way, I just stole that line, that lyric from a Rolling Stones song, so don't get mad at me because I used man and was talking about her. Of course, some people would say, well, never mind what some people might say about that. But Mike Pence talks with God, and God is only to happen to speak with Mike Pence, and would with Joy Behar, if Joy Behar would get that bee out of her butt and listen and talk to him. And it's got to be a sort of a two-way street. I mean, you got to reach out, and you got to be open. You can't be restrictive and go in saying, I want to talk to you, but on my terms. That's not how it works. And people who have experienced it know that it's real and that it's right here. It's right here in front of us, right? It's like the air you're getting ready to suck in. It's right there. And that's God. And a lot of people hear God. They actually hear him. And then they argue with him and argue away or turn their back or scoff. You know, that little voice in your head. Where do you think it comes from? Right? God is in us. We are God. And he's quite capable of communicating with us. And when you have morons like this out there saying that, it obviously shows they have no place for God in their hearts or their lives. And this is part of the problem. You see, this kid had no presence of God in his life. There was an article today, a front page article here in the Sentinel. You got the couple. You see, I'm showing an article to Aubrey, the picture here.
Right.
This is the couple who took the kid in. His friend asked his parents, can we take him in because his mom's died. He's living with somebody else right now. But
he was in foster care for a long time.
So the parents take him in. They don't know what happened to the kid. Unfortunately, it appears as though there was no serious effort to get the kid some spiritual help, okay? We look at situations like this, and we think that the answer is, well, this is a mental health issue. Is it? Is it really at the end of the day? Or is it an issue that somebody that's immature like this, that's sort of on the brink of an emotional breakdown, but not a mental health issue, really, but an emotional issue, that this something like this could happen? Well, a mental health solution is not going to solve the problem. But a spiritual solution could very well. And when applied, does. If they could have got this kid somehow involved in church and get him to where he feels like he's wanted, like he belongs, like it's not such a bad idea to be alive and be around other human beings, that is how you can deal with these perpetrators. But that's not a guaranteed thing, because obviously you're ridiculed for even saying, how could I say such a stupid thing tonight on the radio, right? What a stupid idiot. Did you hear that, Chris Hart? He had the audacity and the stupidity to sit there on a live radio show, thousands and thousands of people listening, and he puts it in his archive that if this kid had to talk to God, it might have been different. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's the fact of the matter. This kid wasn't talking to God. He had no God. He had no place for God in his heart, in his life. And where was it around him? I mean, he didn't find it at school. And evidently didn't find it at home. And so we failed in the sense that we have not seen the true source of the solution, which is the country is in a spiritual funk that has been brought on by these liberals, and in particular the media, but also in politics, creating this misplaced anger, misplaced rage, and Christians and Christianity and the Judeo-Christian heritage of this country has been the brunt of this misplaced anger for decades now, and we are seeing the result of it. Right? We wonder, why is it our kids don't respect life? Because they're not taught it. Yeah, I'm not taught it. Yeah, get back to Hugh Hewitt. Yeah, well, they took God out of the schools and forget it. Not going to happen anymore. Yeah, forget it. Not going to happen. Well, it damn well better happen. This is why religious schools have it all over the public schools, because they can bring God into the school. And that's why they have more respect with disruptive students. Because most disruptive students are disruptive because they feel like they're out of place and nobody likes them, or nobody wants them, or they don't they're not a valid being in the world. All of these things religion, spiritual life provides. And when you take that away, the human being is likely to not function properly. Now, is this once again to say that all evil people can be cured by sticking a Bible in their hands? No. But it is to say that our culture would be a lot healthier if people who believe in God weren't so ridiculed. And that people who volunteer that they communicate with God and encourage others to do so should not be ridiculed as well, should not be made fun of in such a public fashion. That just exacerbates the problem. But once again, the mainstream media, and this includes shows like The Puke with the women and the newscasts and the editorial shows, it's all about creating and directing misplaced anger. That's what television is all about. Television is all about the emotion. You see? What we do is all about the intellect, or at least far more than what they do. Because you have to use your mind when you listen to radio. You have to pay attention. You can't watch. You know, you can't sit back and kind of kick back. You gotta kind of focus. You know, you got to kind of scrunch your eyes a little bit and go, what's he saying now? Right? What's he trying to say now? No, I don't think that. Or, yeah. You see? This is a different endeavor. We're dealing more with the intellect. They deal almost exclusively with emotion, which is why they're very effective at creating and directing misplaced anger. And that's what we're seeing going on with these children and how they're being misused, in my opinion, as pawns by the media to get out there and do their political dirty work for them. And it's a shame. Then you got Jay Johnson. All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into what he has to say, because that's going to transition us into the other subject matter, which is the indictments that came out of the 13 Republicans in the, I mean, Republicans, the Russians, Do svidaniya, comrades, the 13 Russians and the three entities. All right, so stick around. 1 hour in, 2 hours to go, and then you got 3 hours of Mark Walters with Armed American Radio. A lot of great stuff here to go tonight. Please stick around.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight. We really do appreciate that. It's a fine Sunday evening here, almost spring-like weather this week. They say we're going to get a little more cold weather in March, but I'll believe it when I see it. All right, I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn, the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, and Jeff Sinis, who's on the bridge. We're here live until 8 o'clock. Then you got Mark Walters, and I can't wait to hear what his take is on this this, shall we call it, fallout from the Parkland shooting. Also, you can be a part of the show by giving us a call at 407-774-8255. And, of course, we always invite you to go to our Facebook page and see the stuff brand new there every day. And you can like us there as well, if you would. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And our website is AmericanAdversaries.com. We spent the first hour talking about the fallout from the Parkland shooting and what I'm calling for tonight's theme of the show, misplaced anger, because we see a lot of that misplaced anger. You see the anger being expressed by the victims of the Parkland shooting, and I'm calling all of the students victims, even though many of them weren't anywhere near the violence, but they were in that school, so we'll include them. And, of course, the parents and the families and close friends of the people who were shot and or killed. For instance, you had the mother that was on CNN screaming at President Trump to do something. And she was obviously angry, sad, frustrated, hurt. And there's no pain like what she was feeling. No question in my mind about that. But that is how the media uses anger to create and direct misplaced anger. President Trump had nothing to do with this. And he is going to try, and he is trying to prevent this sort of thing from happening. And this is the reality of the situation, but because there is so much anger and frustration and hurt going on right now, that's all being lost. That's why we try to bring people back to reality here. And by the way, I received a text from Lynn, a general in the American Adversaries Army, Lynn, where Joy Behar said in 2017, when she came out with a book on the morning joke, she said she was being told by God to save the country. That's why she wrote the book. It was in a joking way that she said that. She was not being serious. It was, it's like God told her to save the country from Donald Trump. That was Joy Behar. So I understand that it appears as though she was being hypocritical, but in fact, she was at that point even ridiculing people who think that they have any connection with God. See, because to these people, let me just follow that up with this. To people like Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg, God is either dead, if he ever did exist at all, but does not exist. How could he? You see, God would never allow what happened in Parkland in Broward County to happen. You see, God wouldn't do that. And this is where they are just utterly, totally lost and ignorant when it comes to God. God is pained more by that than anybody, but he had to let it happen. Because God has to let us choose and has to let us know the difference between good and evil. And how can he do that if he protects us from it? I mean, it would be stupid. God doesn't want stupid people. He wants people who understand and who are enlightened. And then you got the likes of Jay Johnson. Okay? Now this grade A, 100% prime moron used to be our Department of Homeland Security secretary. And what was he, a painter or whatever?
Yeah, he was an artist and a professor, I believe.
Well, I tell you what, so, they should have hired him to do those portraits that they did for the Obamas.
Well, I don't know how good his art was.
George W. Bush could have done a whole lot better job. You don't believe me? Just get that book where he painted the wounded warriors. Mm. But because he had a way of capturing
the emotion.
Yeah. And that wasn't happening with those portraits. But there's Jay Johnson out there today saying that the FBI had a lot on their plate.
Yeah, they were chasing around looking for evidence of collusion by none other than our president.
Well, not only that, but they was chasing some other things over there, too. You might say they were chasing tail. Right?
Well, I didn't want to say this is a family show.
They were chasing each other's tail and doing a whole lot of other things to be distracted. And so, So what Jay Johnson actually did, though, was admit that the president was correct in his tweet, which he's being criticized by everybody, including a few morons on Fox. And when the president said, and we said this on the show, I think Thursday and Friday, as soon, the day the thing happened, Wednesday,
right.
We were saying the FBI was too busy chasing witches to do their damn job, which is to protect Americans. You see? Oh, yeah, they think they got it all. No, they got nothing. What they got is a bunch of morons who, as I said, are distracted doing other things rather than take care of the American public. Or you can take the other approach, which there are people out there on Twitter taking this approach, and I'm hesitant. I'm not there yet. But if it isn't the case that they were distracted, had too much on their plate, as Jay Johnson put it, then there are two other options. They're just a bunch of incompetent boobs who don't know their butts from a hole in the ground, and I don't believe that's the case. Or two, they squelched the tips on purpose, and I don't want to believe that that's the case. But it's got to be one of the three. Either they had their heads up their butts, they wanted the tip to be squelched, or they're just a bunch of incompetent boobs. And I don't think that it's the last two. I'm hoping not. Perhaps it is. Perhaps a combination of all three. But the bottom line is the FBI needs to have a day of reckoning over there. I've been calling for that for some time. The Justice Department and the IRS need to have their own days of reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the whole, every cabinet department. But this incompetence, shall we call it, generously, is a sign that priorities are not set right. Protocols were not followed, said the agent the other day. Well, oh, yeah, by who? What protocols and by who? And when we find out, that person should not be in the position to make the same mistake again. And retraining ain't going to cut it. But see, then again, in government, you can't have responsibility. You can't have accountability. Why, that's against the union rules, you see. We can't fire McCabe. We can't fire Strzok. We can't fire Lisa Page. Why they got a government job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, let me ask you this, talking about Justice Department. Do you know who Dontre Mills is?
The name sounds familiar. Refresh my memory.
All right, he purchased 27 guns using a false ID, and then he sold those guns to felons. And after being charged with 55 counts of federal gun trafficking crimes, the Department of Justice, under the President Barack Obama, negotiated a plea bargain in exchange for a guilty plea on one charge, and he was given probation.
Yeah, so
where's the problem with the NRA here?
Once again, it's misplaced anger. It's all misplaced anger. And even you see the media covering up, in this case, for the FBI. Now, they couldn't get past the fact that the FBI had to admit that they made these, that they had received these tips and that they did not do anything about them. But do you hear any calls from the media about, okay, are we going to investigate the FBI? Are we going to find out who did this and why? Are we going to change protocol at the FBI so that this doesn't happen again? You know, No, they have gone all. We don't want you to be mad at the FBI. We want to redirect your anger. We want it misplaced where we want it placed. You see, the media, and that's why they're using these kids as pawns in order to help them misplace the anger. Right. Why? Who could be mad at a child? Oh. And who could deny what the child is mad at? Well, a mature person. That's who.
Well, you know,
but. Go ahead.
Our government, the liberals, are full of good intentions, right?
I'm beginning to think not.
Well, no, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
If they are, yeah.
In 1990 was the introduction of gun-free school zones, the Gun-Free School Zones Act. Who introduced that bill?
That was, let's see, 1990 out of, I don't know who.
Joe Biden.
All right. And once again, the bottom line here is that it is misplaced anger, which results in misplaced policy. And they're going down the same road again and trying to vilify the NRA. They think now that they have an issue that they can win on in 2018, that they can get the NRA out of the race. And by the way, that is the goal of the children. To get the NRA out. Now, they're not being political, mind you, but their goal is to get the NRA out of things, right? And by the way, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, we're not being political when we say this, but if you stick with the NRA, you got blood on your hands. You're against us. But we're kids, so we're not being political here. You see, once again, this is why we do not let children, young, inexperienced people, run the show. Only, in this case, the media does want them running the show for now. Okay? When they're done with them, that'll be it.
They'll be disposed
right.
of. Yep.
Right. But they won't be done with them for now for another month because they're going to have their March for Our Lives on March 24. So I guarantee you, every day between now and March 24th, the media is going to be going back to this story and revisiting it in order to keep the misplaced anger at a peak and direct it in the fashion that they want it to be directed. And, of course, they want to carry that misplaced anger into the fall to carry the day for them in the elections. And then, of course, they're going to want to carry the misplaced anger forward into 2020, which brings us to the Russia story and the so-called sophisticated operation that the Russians had. Sophisticated operation, right, uh-huh. You basically had a bunch of computer geeks in computer rooms on the other side of the world hacking in our business over here. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're going to pick this up on the other side of the break. And once again, thanks for listening to us tonight. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. We'll have Abe Katzman, I anticipate, on the show. There's some big things brewing over there in the Middle East involving Iran and Israel. So you won't want to miss that. You're listening to the American Adversaries Live, and we're coming right back.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. That's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
From Russia with love, I fly to you. Much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love.
That's right, folks. The Russians love our political system so much, they just had to participate in it. All right, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. So the indictment comes out Friday, and the Justice Department needed a little boost, you might say, going into the weekend. It is President's Day weekend, after all. By the way, we will be here tomorrow night. The indictment on 13 Russians will never come to anything more than being a list of names on a piece of paper. The 13 Russians won't be arrested. They won't be extradited to the United States. They'll never see the inside of a courtroom. And this will do nothing to thwart the Russians going forward. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really reveal that they were able to do anything other than spend some money on Facebook and put a few extra dollars in Mark Zuckerberg's pocket like he needs it. Statement by the Assistant Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, clearly he said that, first of all, no Americans knew that this was going on, and two, that that willingly participated in it going on, or two, that it did not affect the outcome of the election. In other words, what he was in essence saying is that it was pretty much inconsequential. And by the way, one reason why they feel like the overall effort may not have affected the outcome of the election is because most of the efforts that the Russians undertook occurred after the election. Some two-thirds of the money and time and effort spent by the Russians to, quote-unquote, interfere with our election happened after the election. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I don't know how you can interfere with an election after the election. Now, yeah, they did make some efforts before the election, but those efforts were a scattershot effort. And mentioned in the indictment, you had the Russians trying to help Bernie Sanders, Jill Stein, and Donald Trump, and pretty much anybody but Hillary Clinton. But, of course, we know via the dossier that the Russians were trying to help Hillary Clinton out in that fashion. So the Russians were trying to actually help all the parties out so that they can muck up the system. And they did it pretty much from across the ocean. They quote-unquote, came here via the Internet, stole some IDs, set up some bank accounts, set up a Facebook account, maybe a Twitter account, and exercised all this from computer terminals in Russian computer banks in Russia, in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, and other places over there. And by the way, some of this was being done evidently not by the Russian government, but by Russian private parties. And the Obama administration knew something was going on, and you even had Shifty Adam Schiff come out, little Shifty Adam Schiff, as President calls him, and recognized him for coming out criticizing the Obama administration, not publicly. He did this in front of a closed session with the, get this, Council on Foreign Relations. You talk about elite. In a closed door session. By the way, in the same meeting, Shotgun Joe Biden, who you just mentioned, opened the door once again to him running for president in 2020.
Let him run.
Bring it on.
Please.
Bring it on, Joe boy.
Please.
And so the president was quick to jump on this and say, you know, it's sort of, see, I told you so. And for this part of it, he's right. Herr Mueller's still on his witch hunt, though, so there's I'm sure, going to be more announcements of a like sort. But nonetheless, I think that what this is demonstrating is that, one, the Russians, in my opinion, their attempt to, quote-unquote, meddle in our elections was a feeble attempt. Two, it was clearly assisted by Democrats in the media after the election. And three, the president did not collude with the Russians. There is no collusion. Clearly, in terms of this operation, the assistant attorney general made that clear, that there was, the way he put it, no American willingly participated. In other words, no collusion.
And it automatically exonerates Hillary as well.
And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before in terms of the dossier and what the DNC and the Clinton campaign was doing with Fusion GPS. It's not clear that that was illegal. Okay.
Well, collusion is not illegal.
Right.
It's not a crime.
Right. But now.
But then why did the FBI have to investigate and take over a year?
Well, what they have done may have been a crime. In other words, misleading, using the dossier to mislead the FISA court, assuming that they did so, is a crime, is a criminal act. So there may have been criminal acts in and around the dossier, not having to do with the political parties, but oddly enough, ironically enough, with the legal entities. In other words, the Justice Department and the FBI.
Fine, but then you can still conclude, since the FBI were the ones doing illegal operations, that Trump had nothing to do with it. And why didn't they come out and say that at the beginning once they found it out? No, because they still wanted to try and get rid of Trump.
Right, because they were committing illegal acts, and you don't do right things when you're committing illegal acts, you understand. So, obviously, they couldn't come out and come clean about it because they were up to no good.
Right, but now they want to close down the investigation because they're saying no one willingly did anything. Meanwhile, everyone knows that the DNC...
Don't get confused. These are two separate investigations, okay?
We can only hope.
What Mueller is investigating is separate from other stuff. And by the way, there are investigations going on in other parts of the country that are, if you're worried about the Clintons getting away with something, that are looking into the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. The federal prosecutor in Arkansas has impaneled a grand jury to hear his evidence on Clinton Foundation issues having to do with pay-per-play, bank fraud, and illegally using foundation money for personal reasons. And a federal prosecutor doesn't impanel a grand jury unless he intends to use it.
Right, but Mueller was there to investigate the collusion of Trump.
Right.
And Trump's been exonerated, but he's still continuing. They should close that and start a different investigation. Start a different investigation.
We'll get to this when we come back. Up against the clock, we are listening to the American Adversaries. You will be right back after this break.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A growing number of states wants courts to approve the temporary removal of guns from people considered dangerous. These so-called red flag laws could disarm people, such as the school shooter in Florida, which has no such law. Gun control advocates say that such measures can save lives by stopping some shootings and suicides, but Second Amendment supporters say that they infringe on Second Amendment rights. A gunman opened fire with a hunting rifle on churchgoers leaving a service in Russia's Dagestan region, killing four people and wounding four others. Police then killed the assailant. The shooting took place Sunday evening in Kizlar, a town of around 50,000 people on the border with Chechnya. The motive for the shooting was not immediately known. More details at srnnews.com.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the Bad Man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
And we're back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And we're here until 8 o'clock. Once again, Mark Walters and his panel of experts will be educating us with Armed American Radio until 11 o'clock tonight, 8 till 11. You'll want to tune in for that. And I'm sure they'll be talking about these so-called red flag laws. You're going to hear more about this over the coming days. The so-called red flag laws would allow law enforcement to, quote-unquote, temporarily remove guns from people who have been red flagged.
By who?
That's the whole problem. By who? And what they're saying is that in states like Florida, by the way, the states, this will tell you something about red flag laws, the states that have them are California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, and Connecticut. Can I tell you anything?
Yeah.
Let's see. Do they have gun violence in California?
Yeah.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Washington?
Yeah.
Illinois? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, right.
And Connecticut? Not
oh,
so
yeah.
much, but they do have it.
Yeah, they got it there too.
Yeah. So the red flag laws would be, I suppose, a variation of the so-called Baker Act, where you can, in the Baker Act, they'll allow a person to be detained for 3 days to make sure that they're not a threat to themselves or others. And it's harder to do that, evidently, today. But in the case of this kid, the police had been called to his, because of his acts, 39 times. I can't see why he couldn't have been charged or something in the course of that, which would have brought his possession of these guns. And by the way, he had more than one. He had several guns. And when his family took him in, the father of his friend, the family that took him in, he has guns as well. Their house had been burglarized a couple of years ago, so they went out and got some guns and stuff. And the guy got a gun safe that you lock with a key. And he thought he had because he made the kid put the guns in the safe. That right. was a contingency of living at the house and could only be taken out at, you know, with the parents' permission and presence. But evidently the kid stole the key or got in. Once again, you can't keep the tools of destruction out of the hands of somebody intent on being destructive. The guns were locked up. He broke into the safe. He got them out. In essence, he stole the guns.
Or he could have purchased that gun after the others were locked in the safe.
He could have bought it the day he used it.
Right.
The bottom line is, you can't keep weapons of destruction out of the hands of evil people. This is why we must be able to be allowed to protect ourselves. So these red flag laws are going to be one of the ways that they use to appease the emotional feel for doing something.
And take us one step closer to gun bans.
All right.
And confiscation.
Sure.
Because this is confiscation. And the reason why he was able to purchase all these guns, well, how old was he?
Well, he was 18. Now, if he did have a pistol, a handgun, that would have been illegal because he's, as 18 years old, is not allowed to purchase one legally anyway.
Okay.
I suppose he could have inherited, you could say, from his parents. But once again, I don't want to get into that because it doesn't have anything to do with this law or that law on guns. It has everything to do with evil intent. So, you know, making this or that adaptation is, in essence, a waste of time. If you want to protect students at school, you must literally protect them. And that means with adequate security. And by the way, I mentioned this hostess on Fox who came up with the brilliant question, how do we get guns out of the hands of people with evil intent? Like, there is a way to do that. She also said that the coach who was a security guard, one of the reasons why he was one of the first ones shot is because he had a gun.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't have a gun. But this is the kind of idiocy that's being perpetrated, and that was on Fox. Okay? We're not talking CNN, MSNBC. We're talking Fox.
Which is moving further and further left, but that's another story.
Once again, they're caught up in this misplaced anger because it's children. And you better not go against the children. Ooh, no, better not do that. So they've stuck their tail between their legs and go, that's what you're hearing on Fox. And so, for the most part, or at least to a significant extent, we shall see as the week goes on. But the once again, this all this falderall over guns and keeping them out of hands of people who are going to do bad things is just a waste of time and effort. You simply have to protect the good people. Because I'm here to tell you, Facebook is going to be more than willing, as I begin to talk about on the show, they're developing and preparing to implement what they call algorithms. These are computer software programs that they say will be able to predict such behavior as this. Now, how are they going to do that? Well, they're going to have to know a whole lot of stuff about a whole lot of people to be able to predict which ones are going to do this and which ones are going to do that and which ones aren't going to do anything.
Well, there was a movie about that a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to go down that road? You see, to me, we don't need that. Simply what we need is not to have gun-free zones, but to have our children protected properly.
Right. I mean, there's people that are on Facebook right now, they're saying, and quite rightly so, we use guns to protect the money in a bank.
Yep.
So it stands to reason that we love money more than we love our children.
Yeah. And we also use guns to protect politicians. We use guns to protect celebrities. The same damn celebrities that are out there, you know, pissing and moaning about this.
Right.
Right. So,
but they don't have guns. They hire people
right.
with guns.
But nonetheless, they're protected by them, are they not? Indeed, they are. By the way, during the break, I don't know if you heard it, but it was reported that a Russian shooter with a rifle killed four people leaving a church over there and wounded four others before he was killed by evidently a police officer with a with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? You think you can go over to Russia and buy a gun? So how did Russia not manage to keep a gun out of a man who had evil intent? Right? Now, if they can't do it where you're not supposed to have guns over there, how do they expect it to be done here? And then you get these moronic arguments. Well, Illinois, for instance, has a high crime rate because even though it's you're not supposed to own guns there, they come in from other states. If we would just have the other states do away with guns, we wouldn't have a problem anymore. Like they wouldn't come in from Canada or Mexico or across the oceans. I mean, this is the kind of utter stupidity and moronity that we're dealing with. And then they put it the face of a child on it, and we're supposed to swallow it?
Well,
no, ain't going to do it. Sorry.
It's there to appease the people with few brain cells.
Well,
and unfortunately, a lot of them vote.
Well, that's the key. It's not to appease them. It's to create and direct their misplaced anger. And that gets us once again back to this whole business with the Russia collusion. This whole story was concocted to do what? To create and misplace people's anger. Was the media ecstatic the day after the inauguration when you had all the women up there in their hats and everything and talking vulgar and mouthing off and being mad and angry and everything? The media loved it. Why? Because they had created and helped misdirect all this anger. It was anger being expressed. And in this March 24 thing, this March for Life, a March for Our Life on March 24th, it's going to be all about anger.
And
the children are mad. The children are mad. Better watch out. The children are mad. And they're on the streets and they're marching. And they're mad. So you better be mad at whatever the kids are mad at, or you're a mad person.
This country loves having the lunatics running the asylum.
In a way, I suppose it's appropriate that the face of children is now on these liberal arguments, because they are, in fact, infantile.
Now, are you talking about the children or the liberals?
Yes. Let's go to Walter. Hey, Walter, how you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
I didn't say anything. Nice hat, Aubrey.
Yeah. He loves pulling your chain. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, listen, here's the deal. Number one, just a few quick thoughts. There's too much PC in these schools.
Yep.
Way too much PC. These kids get away with absolute murder.
Literally.
I mean, I hear it all day long. I have a lady that works in a school, lives next door to me, and she tells me stories that are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And the administration just lets it go, and thank you very much, and see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I'm totally boggled when I heard that this kid was 17 or 18 years old and bought that weapon on his own. That totally boggles my mind. I don't want to ban these guns or anything else like that. But, damn, this kid's 17 years old goes in and, or 18 years old goes in and buy a gun like that off the shelf?
Well,
there's something. No, that's no. Sorry.
Well, once again, that may be raising that to 21. That might be an area that we could talk about doing. But he, in essence, stole the gun. Even though it was his gun, you understand that the man whose house he was living in had locked the kid's guns in his gun, in the father's, the adult's gun safe. So the kid had to break into a gun safe in order to access his own weapon. So the point being, I don't think it would have mattered. The guy was going to do something bad, and he was going to find some way to do it. And he had to go out of his way to steal his own gun. Odd as that may sound.
To put that gun in the gun safe, he had to buy it. And that's the whole, you know, couldn't have been able to buy that gun.
Well, what about the kid? Well, okay.
Somebody would have said, hey, listen, you can't buy this gun. Get somebody that's over 21 to come in here and sign for you. Maybe that would have thrown up a flag.
Well, like I say, that might be an area that we could talk about. If the purchase age for a handgun is 21 in the state of Florida, which is what it is, perhaps it should be the same for all weapons. But you must understand, though, that this particular weapon falls under the category of a long rifle. There is no such thing as an assault weapon. Do you understand that?
I'm very well adversed at all what you're saying. But the point is that the kid was still 18 years old.
Right, exactly. And a kid 18 years old can go in and buy a shotgun. Should it be the same with a shotgun?
As far as I'm concerned, absolutely.
Okay, in that case, then that's a point that we can debate and perhaps come to a consensus on, because we've already done that for the handgun.
I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I was 18 at one time.
Yeah.
And I knew what my head was doing at 18 at that time.
All right, but let me ask you this, Walter. You were driving a car?
I was driving a car, yes, and I was not doing it properly.
Right. And so why don't we bring more common sense car laws into account?
But that's true. But I want to go back to your point, though. Yes, this kid did buy that gun, but then there was the kid who shot up the Sandy Hook school up there, the elementary school, who did not buy the guns. His mother had bought the guns.
He murdered his mother and stole the guns.
Right, in order to get the weapons. So once again, yes, I can see your point. And I can even see making all weapons purchases at 21 being the law, okay? But that's not going to solve the problem. I'm sorry. It's not. And what Aubrey was trying to say is the kid could have taken an automobile and drove it through the crowd of students as they were exiting school that day and probably killed just as many, if not more, people. So
it comes to my point that I wanted to make. I live in an area that I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, that's fine.
There is a reasonably there's a reason for it.
Okay,
the reasonably is a recently new school. I am a obvious person who likes to intervene when I see something wrong.
Yes.
I saw something wrong around that particular school, and I went in to speak to the administrator. I couldn't get through the front door.
Yeah.
I walked in the front door, and I was in a lobby. Basically, I was in a glass cage.
Right.
And there was a lady on the other side sitting at a desk, and she was talking to a whole bunch of people, and they were having a grand old time. I could not get in that building unless I told her specifically what I wanted, specifically who I wanted to see, and who I was.
Right. So what you're saying is
that's the only one that I know of in Orange County that exists like that.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of the particular school you're talking about, but I do know that most of our schools are what you call open campus. In other words, you have maybe several buildings or a number of buildings, and if anything, maybe a simple chain link fence around the campus. So there are many, many ways of entering and leaving the campus. But as once again, though, what you're talking about is the real solution, right? It'd be pretty much...
It's one of them, because the point is that going back to Audrey's point of the guy getting a car, at the same time, this kid down in South Florida attacked these kids when they were getting out of school.
Yeah, about to, yes. That's correct.
Yes.
Right. But he also was able to get onto the campus very easily, even though this is a new school down there.
Get into the campus, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right. And because it was 45 acres wide open and, lots of area for him to sneak on into the campus. So,
well,
but, yes.
Only one door in the building that I was just describing that you can walk into.
Yeah.
All the rest of them are locked during the course of the day.
Yeah.
And you cannot get in or out of those without an alarm going off.
Right.
And when I walked into that building, I was like going to the next door, and oops, I can't get in here. What's the score? What's the scoop?
Yeah. And that's the way it should be. And the children should be protected. That part of when we hand our kids over to our teachers, yes, they're to educate them, but they're also to protect them. That's part of their job. When we give our children over to our teachers, they're to be protected. I remember when I was in school in the fifth grade, I believe it was, the school used to do these newspaper drives, right? And at the end of the year, we would have this big old huge pile of newspapers, and this truck would come by and pick them up and take them down, and they would give the school money.
Right.
Well, at the end of this particular school year, it was either fourth or fifth grade, the principal needed some boys to help load the papers on the truck. So he came to our classroom and got several of us out of the classroom, got several other boys out of another classroom, and we spent a couple of hours on the last day of school, mind you, loading this truck with the newspapers, helping this driver. And so somewhere along the line, somebody said, hey, the principal wants us to go with the guy and help him unload the truck, right? So we did. The principal freaked out. And the reason why he freaked out was it was his responsibility to take care of us. You know what he did when we got back? We met the Board of Education. And the reason he told us, he says, you have to understand, when students are on this campus, we have to protect you. And you leaving the campus like that, we couldn't protect you. If something had happened to you, it would have been our fault. His name was Garris Ball, and I'll never forget him. He was the best principal that school ever had, and we deserved those licks we got that day. And by the way, to add a little insult to injury, he gave them to us in front of half the school watching, because he wanted everybody to know, when you come to that school, you're expected to behave, and part of the reason why, and he had told the whole school this on the intercom while we were missing. It was a freak out at the school, because we were in their charge.
Right.
And we had left the campus, you see, and he couldn't do anything about it. So he was scared more than anything else. The man was just absolutely terrified, and rightfully so. And see, somehow that has been lost in today's public education system.
Chris, that's exactly what I was going to say. That was then, this is now.
Yeah, well, somehow we need to kind of get back to then, I reckon. Thanks so much, Walter. Thank you.
Have fun.
You too.
Have a good one.
We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
To the show, folks. By the way, my elementary school career ended on a happy note. I made very good grades in the sixth grade. I was a captain of the patrols, and me and that principal, Garris Ball, Mr. Ball, were tight as could be. We were two peas in a pod.
Well, you know,
I learned my lesson.
Good for you. But, you know, I enjoyed, I liked eighth grade so much, I repeated it.
Yeah, four or five times, right? All right, that's Aubrey Kahn. I am Christopher Hart. We're coming up on another break here in about 4 minutes. But once again, I want to remind you, I know you're pretty much aware, but Mark Walters is going to have a lot of pertinent information about just what happened the other day in particular and the fallout since then and these various calls for gun changes. And there, as Walter was saying, there are a couple things, perhaps 18, without a parent's consent, might be too young. Don't know. But once again, that wouldn't have, it's not going to stop evil people from doing evil deeds. But so once again, we need to focus, as he directed the conversation, to protecting our children over any and all forms of evil acts that will come to their schools.
25, 30 years ago, they were having musketry training in schools.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Kids 14, 15, 16, or should I say 16, 17, were arriving at schools in their trucks, and they had racks with hunting rifles in them.
Yep.
So what's changed?
Well, as I said, the discipline has been taken out of schools.
Right.
God has been taken out of society altogether, not just schools, but pretty much society altogether. And these things have costs.
Right. So it's not a gun problem. It's
right.
A people problem.
Exactly. That's what I've been trying to say all along. And I guess I could have said it simply like that, and we could have gone home early tonight. But the bottom line is exactly the point, that human beings are going to be human beings, and that means that there's going to be some rotten ones along the way. It's just unavoidable. It's going to happen. And this is why people need to be able to protect the vulnerable. And the children are amongst the most vulnerable. They are not in a position to protect themselves. They must be protected by adults. And then you got stupid idiots like Jerry Brown signing a law in California preventing teachers and staff members of schools from being able to protect their students. That's just insanity. And yet that's what's being called for right now. It's like, yeah, if we just act nice and hang a sign on the wall, no guns allowed, that nothing's ever going to... But once again, this is why we should not be allowing children to drive the debate here.
Well, here's another part of the problem. Hollywood censors films.
Yeah, they censor right? them the wrong way.
All right. Yeah. PG-13 because of violence, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no age restriction on these violent video games where the kids go around murdering people. And then, of course, miraculously, they all come back to life because they could murder them again in the next game and the next game and the next game. So children have become desensitized, number one. Number two, they probably don't realize that death is once and it's done.
Yeah, I think for the most part they do. But what these video games do is desensitize in the sense that not everybody that plays them is going to, you know, be desensitized to the respect for human life. But for those who are prone to that, what it does in essence is allow them to rehearse the act and therefore be desensitized to it when it actually happens, so that when he actually shoots a little kid in the head and blows his brains out, it doesn't freak him out. Because he's already seen it. You see, it's not desensitizing in the sense that it's saying it's okay to kill. It's desensitizing in the sense that it shows them how to do it, if they're predisposed to do so. Anyway, we got to be predisposed to take a break. We come back, we got another hour to go. Then, of course, 3 with Mark Walters. So you still got a lot of live radio to go right here tonight. Once again, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And follow us into and out of this break. We'll be back.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Todd. News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Number 3 of the American Adversary Sunday Evening 3-Hour Classic Tour. Once again, we're here. We're live on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, and on Sunday nights also on 1520 WBZW. All right, because we are live, we invite you to call us at 407-774-8255. Aubrey Kahn and myself, Christopher Hart, here in the studio still, and now joined by our diva, Kathy Santomassino, who's got some more odd stuff for us.
It gets odder and odder every week, doesn't it, Chris?
That's ODDER, right, not right. OTTER. Right.
Well, an anti-littering activist in California is celebrating an unusual milestone, picking up her 1 millionth discarded cigarette butt. Sally Dolly, who branded herself the Butt Lady of Auburn, after beginning her quest to clean the streets in October of 2014, was accompanied by an entourage of friends, family, and fans Wednesday when she swept up her 1 millionth cigarette butt in the parking lot of Mel's Diner in Auburn. I got tired of going on my walks and seeing cigarette butts everywhere, Dolly told KTXL-TV. Dolly said she uses a clicker to keep track of the butts she's cleaned up around Auburn. I'm just overwhelmed and shocked that I had to pick up this many, she said. I keep track on a daily basis of how many I pick up, and I just keep going. Dolly said she wants to inspire people to be more responsible. I've had days where I've picked up 3,000 butts in one day, and it's like, come on, people, she said. The butt lady offered some advice to local smokers. Don't throw your butts, she said. Better yet, stop smoking. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great, Chris, if we had a world of no tobacco?
No, it wouldn't.
Why?
Because it has medicinal qualities.
Oh, no.
And yes, it does.
And you should have the freedom to do whatever you want to your body.
Don't you remember a few years ago when they had that Ebola outbreak or something? They were using tobacco leaves.
Yeah. And juice and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They weren't smoking it, though.
Well, you know what they should do? If you see a person throw a cigarette butt out the window, pick it up, throw it back in.
Okay. It's kind of hard when you're in a moving car, though.
Yeah, I don't see, counting every one.
Well, no. I hope you gentlemen had a wonderful Valentine's Day, as I did.
I'm in love with myself, can I tell you.
Yeah.
Well, an Iowa
every day's
woman.
Every day is Valentine's Day for you, right?
Yeah. Right. An Iowa woman sure did. She said what initially appeared to be a cheap Valentine's Day gift from her husband turned out to be a $100,000 lottery jackpot.
Ooh.
Cynthia Holmes of Boone told Iowa lottery officials that she was initially unimpressed with her husband's choice of a $10 Casino Riches scratch-off ticket for a Valentine's Day present. My husband gave me a scratch-off, and I'm like, oh, that's really expensive, Holmes joked. I scratch it off, I won $100,000. Holmes said the win didn't sink in until she scanned the ticket at lottery headquarters in Clive, Iowa. Holmes' husband, Don, said he did not share her disbelief. I saw the dice. I knew she was a winner, Don Holmes said. I thought it would be just $100, but it turned out to be $100,000. Holmes said she plans to use the money to pay off her car and her house. Smart move.
I guarantee you that if he knew that what it was a $100,000 winning lottery ticket,
he would have given that to her.
Well, another woman in Washington State has many reasons to celebrate after winning a $50,000 Powerball jackpot while she was giving birth to her first child. Ouch. Washington's lottery said the Bothell woman purchased a Powerball ticket from a QFC in Bothell, but she was too busy to check her ticket on the day of the January 5th drawing because she was in the hospital giving birth to her first child. The woman said she and her husband discovered some time after the birth that they had struck it big with a $50,000 prize. We discovered we had won while still in the hospital, but we were so tired and in shock that we decided to wait a couple of days before coming forward, the woman said. The couple, who recently moved to Washington from California, said they plan to use the winnings to pay their hospital bills and make payments on their new home. And if you're a parent and you've had a baby, you know that a typical stay in a maternity ward having a baby is around $20,000.
Now, I'm very glad that you mentioned the city a few times because it cleared it up for me.
You thought she said
Because initially it sounded like a woman from Brothel.
Okay. Brothel.
All right. Let's take a break from that and take David's phone call. David, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate your being there.
All right. I just have a couple of things I wanted to point out. I agree with the number one problem is we need the schools fixed where they can't carry guns on, they can't run over the kids with cars, just like you're talking about. My other point thing that kind of confuses me is these people that scream for more gun laws and rules, they're the same people that want the Mexican border wide open.
Yep.
The only thing that's going to happen is all the guns will be coming across the border, going to the bad guys in the cities, and they'll be selling them out on the street.
That's the whole point we've been making tonight.
Right. I can't figure out why they can't see that. I don't know.
I think they can. David, I think they can see that.
They just don't want to admit it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. That's all I wanted to point out, though.
All right, but you
can't figure out why wide open borders, and then they're gonna have gun
right
rules.
It doesn't jive. It just doesn't jive.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Y'all done a good job. Everything you talked about tonight makes sense. By the way, that last caller about his school. That was a good school, and they all should be like that. Really.
That's exactly right. There's no excuse for it. If we can secure our courthouses and we can secure our places of political activity, we can sure and heck secure our schools. Our children and our parents deserve that, and we can do it. It just takes the will.
I was in Vietnam for 2 years, and I slept with the M16 for a couple of years every night. But an AR-15, you know, when you're on a semi-automatic, you can fire that pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
I got an AR-15, and a lot of people will say, well, they're not an assault rifle, but they really are. I can shoot pretty damn fast with an AR-15 on semi-automatic.
Right.
And you got your mags that lock the bolt back, and you slam in another mag. I don't think you should ban them, but I do think it wouldn't hurt to look at the age and all that and make it a little bit harder to get them.
Yeah, well, that's mm-hmm. that's what Walter was saying. And if it's,
yeah, I agree with him on that.
If it's 21 for a handgun, perhaps it should be the same for any gun without at least a parent's permission and supervision. But once again, you know, that's not going to be a solution to the problem.
Hand grenades.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point. Somebody with evil intent.
Hand grenades can be made fairly easy, and if you don't have guns, you might make those, but you just can't carry all the stuff on campus.
Right. I know what you mean. Hey,
All right,
David, thanks so much for being out there. We appreciate your listening.
All right. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Call us anytime. Appreciate it. And see, that's the trick, is that the bad guys always find a way to get the implements of destruction. So we have to be able to protect ourselves. Okay, Kathy.
A maintenance worker at a Florida golf course captured video of a gargantuan alligator walking across a fairway with an entourage of vultures. Pope Golf, which manages Buffalo Creek Golf Course in the Parrish and Palmetto area, posted a video to Facebook showing the massive gator strolling across the eighth hole of the course while several vultures followed close behind. Buffalo Creek General Manager Ryan Henderson said the 15-foot alligator's walk was recorded by a maintenance worker. And let me tell you, Chris.
That's a dinosaur.
I was just going to say, this looked like a prehistoric dinosaur.
That's huge.
He said the gator is the same animal dubbed Chubbs by fans after being caught on camera in a 2016 viral video. It's the same gator that's been out here for 25 years, Henderson told the Bradenton Herald. This gator must have eaten a lot of animals since the vultures follow him around to finish his leftovers.
I guess so. They know Chubbs, too, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
There's their meal ticket.
Well, a New York State college said an inventory of its library's archival collections led to an unusual discovery, a lock of George Washington's hair. Union College said archivists going through materials at Schaefer Library discovered the first U.S. president's hair in an envelope tucked inside a leather book titled Gaines Universal Register or American and British Calendar for the year 1793. The envelope was labeled Washington's Hair, LSS, and scratched out GBS from a James A. Hamilton given by his mother August 10th, 1871.
What is LSS?
I'm not sure. I tried to find that out.
Maybe that was Martha Washington's hair.
I don't know. But anyway, James A. Hamilton was the son of Alexander Hamilton and his wife, Eliza Schuler Hamilton. The book was inscribed to Philip J. Schuler, brother of Eliza, and son of General Philip Schuler, a friend of Washington's. In an era when people frequently exchanged hair as a keepsake, it's quite probable that Martha had given Eliza some of George's hair, which in turn was given to their son James, who later distributed it strand by strand as a precious memento to close friends and family members, said Susan Holloway Scott, a scholar and author of the historical novel I, Eliza Hamilton. India Spartz, head of special collections and archives at Schaefer Library, said she is working to preserve the hair, the almanac, and a series of handwritten notes from Philip J. Schuller that were also found inside the book. This is a very significant treasure, Spartz said. It's a tremendous testament to history and our connection to some of the most important historical figures. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
If it is really his hair, I still don't know how they know for sure.
Well, they can do carbon dating, and I guess
carbon dating wouldn't tell them it
was
his.
Would tell them about the year that it goes back to, which might be a help.
All right. Strand by strand, he was giving it away.
Right.
that's I could use a few strands. All right, I tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more of Sunday's Odd Stories. And I hope you'll be with us. And when Sonny joins us from California, we're going to talk about what Governor Brown did in California. He has signed a law banning teachers and school staff with concealed weapons permits from being able to carry those weapons on schools to protect their kids. Smart? I don't think so. We'll be right back. All about control, if you can
take it. All about your debt, if you can pay it. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
All right, that's right, folks. We've ventured into the Twilight Zone. Kathy Santomassino's got the stuff.
I enjoy being in the Twilight Zone, actually.
Good, because that's where
we're
not
even going there.
Well, from Washington to Lincoln, a Kentucky elementary school announced it broke a world record by gathering 556 people dressed as Abraham Lincoln. Officials at Lincoln Elementary School in Louisville said 556 people, including students and faculty members, donned stovepipe hats and chinstrap beards to break the record for most people dressed as Abraham Lincoln in one place. "We admire Abraham Lincoln," Principal Susan French Epps stated. "We've studied his contributions that he has made for all citizens and appreciate the opportunity to celebrate the month of his birth and give him some love on Valentine's Day." The school is submitting records and evidence from the event to Guinness, which lists the current record as 250 Abe Lincolns.
And, of course, tomorrow is President's Day.
That's right.
Right. But, you know, why not, instead of celebrating it on Valentine's Day, reintroduce Lincoln's Day.
Yeah, birthday. Lincoln's birthday, right.
Which I believe is the 12th, wasn't it?
They used to celebrate
it. I know.
That's
you
right.
celebrated Lincoln and Washington separately.
Right.
Well, an escaped bull that stampeded through Las Vegas was eventually captured by police with help from animal control officers and a lasso-wielding cowboy on horseback. You know, weird things happen in Las Vegas, Chris, as I can attest to.
Indeed they do.
But the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department said the bull was seen running loose in a residential neighborhood about 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and the 800 to 1,200-pound animal led police on an hours-long chase through the city. Police enlisted the help of Henderson police, animal control officers, and a civilian cowboy with a lasso and a horse. An off-duty officer with livestock experience was eventually able to corral the bull into a trailer about 7 a.m., police said. No injuries were reported from the bull's time on the loose. The bull will be examined by a veterinarian and held in custody until owners can be located.
And that's no bull.
That's no bull. Authorities in Portugal said a man who arrived in the country from Brazil was found to be hiding 2.2 pounds of cocaine in a set of false butt cheeks. Well, the Portuguese judicial police said the tax and customs authority stopped the 32-year-old man at Lisbon Airport when they determined he was under investigation by the National Anti-Narcotics Trafficking Unit. The man was searched, and officers discovered he was wearing a false derriere filled with 2.2 pounds of cocaine. Police said a 40-year-old man who was suspected of being the intended recipient of the drugs was arrested at a train station in Lisbon. Both men were detained on drug trafficking charges, and I bet they have quite an explanation for how they got that cocaine in some butt cheeks. Well, the next story underscores the message, buyer beware. A South Carolina woman shared video of her hairdryer that became a blowtorch on its first use after she purchased it from our favorite Amazon seller. We can't tell you the name of the third party, but Erica Ogthun Schulbred posted a pair of videos to Facebook showing flames shooting from the hairdryer where warm air is supposed to come out.
Well, the air was warm.
Talk about a bad hair day. My new hair dryer, more like hair fryer, from Oracor on Amazon.com, became a blowtorch on its first use this morning, Schulbred wrote. The Spartanburg resident said unplugging the dryer led to a small burn on her hand, but she was otherwise uninjured. I'm so fortunate the dryer was pointing away from me and my 5-year-old daughter was not getting ready with me that morning, Schulbred told Today Style. It could have been horrific. Schulbred said she bought the dryer from a third-party Amazon seller called Oracor. I have never heard of them, but she said Amazon offered her a full refund for the purchase, but Oracor has yet to respond to her complaint. An Amazon rep said the hair dryer has been removed from the website.
So her name, last name is what?
Schulbred.
And I guess the hair dryer's toast.
You could say that. Well, a Florida man who boarded a flight home from Chicago received a shock when the pilot made a special announcement. The passenger's wife is pregnant. Audrey Rose of South Tampa said she secretly slipped a note to a flight attendant on the Tampa-bound flight, and the worker offered her a thumbs-up to signal the message had been received. "I have a big favor to ask," the note reads. "I just found out that I'm pregnant, and I really want to surprise my husband. I was hoping you could announce it before takeoff." Rose posted a video to Facebook showing her husband, David, looking up in surprise as the pilot says his name over the plane's speaker system. David and Audrey Rose apparently smuggled an extra passenger on board, the pilot says. The video shows David repeatedly say, "What?" as the pilot explains that Audrey is pregnant, eliciting applause from the rest of the passengers. "He's mildly in shock still," Audrey Rose told WFTS-TV, "and maybe a little embarrassed, you think?" The Roses said they exchanged information with the pilot so they could keep him and the flight crew updated on the birth of their second child. I wonder what they're going to call their little baby. What do you think, Chris?
Middle name, flight risk.
Maybe Spirit after the airline.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, well, an Arkansas law firm is holding a Valentine's Day contest with a valuable prize for a free divorce. Wilson and Hobart, PLLC in North Little Rock, said in a Facebook post that visitors to the firm's website can enter a contest to win a free divorce, a $985 value.
Can I get their phone number?
Yeah, you need this, Aubrey. In honor of Valentine's Day, we are giving one lucky winner a free divorce. Are you ready to call it quits? Do you know someone that is? Here's how to enter our Valentine's Day divorce giveaway, the Facebook post says. The firm said those seeking a free divorce or applying on behalf of a friend or family member must fill out a submission form on Wilson and Hobart's website and explain why they think they deserve a free divorce. Brian Hobart said the firm has already received more than 40 submissions. People see the post and get a laugh, Hobart said, and whoever wins the special gets to laugh too because they get what they want. I have to say that is the most original marketing idea I have ever heard of. And you know what? The 40 submissions may end up being future clients, right?
Mm.
Well, the British makers of Cadbury chocolates posted job openings online for some crucial positions. Chocolate taste testers.
I volunteer.
Mondelez, the company behind Cadbury, as well as our favorite Oreo cookies and other snack foods, posted openings on its website for three chocolate tasters and one chocolate and cocoa beverage taster. The postings for the part-time jobs, which start at $12.50 an hour, state candidates should have a passion for confectionery and taste buds for detection, as well as an eagerness to try new and inventive products. No experience is required, as full training will be provided to develop your taste buds and the specific vocabulary required to communicate your opinions. The job listing states, you will work in our dedicated sensory booths and discussion rooms alongside approximately 11 panelists and a panel leader, sharing opinions and collaborating with others to reach an agreement on taste. I want this job.
Mm, get in line.
Getting paid to do what I love.
Yes, sir.
Well, pediatricians in Los Angeles said they were treating an 11-year-old boy's skin abscess when they made an unusual discovery, a live snail inside the wound. Dr. Albert Kate, an assistant professor of pediatrics at Loma Linda University in Los Angeles, said in a case report published by website BMJ Case Reports that an 11-year-old boy came into the pediatric ward with a skin abscess about a week after he scraped his elbow in a tide pool on a California beach. Kate said he and his colleagues followed regular procedure for such wounds by lancing and draining the abscess, and they soon discovered a hard object measuring under 0.2 inches in diameter. Closer inspection revealed the object was a snail, later identified as a checkered periwinkle marine snail. Kate said he was surprised to find the snail was alive. Kate said doctors determined the boy had apparently gotten the snail's egg embedded in his elbow when he scraped it, and the mollusk later attached inside his body. The unique characteristics of this intertidal mollusk appear to have enabled it to survive in the subcutaneous tissue for a week, despite the hostile environment of a skin abscess.
Well,
with SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Iran's state-run IRNA news agency saying that the death toll in a commercial airplane crash is now 65. IRNA reported Sunday night that one passenger did not make the flight. So that puts the death toll at 59 passengers and 6 crew members. A gunman opened fire with a hunting rifle on churchgoers leaving a service in Russia's Dagestan region, killing 4 people and wounding 4 others. The evidence against the Florida school shooting suspect likely so overwhelming that the only question left for the courts, if he's convicted, is whether he'll be sentenced to death or spend the rest of his life in prison. In Florida, there are generally 2 sentencing options for first-degree murder convictions, let alone the 17 counts with which 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz is charged: life in prison without parole or the death penalty. This is SRN News.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling. The American Adversary on 660 WORL.
And on 1520 The Miz.
Okay, and we're back. Thanks for listening on Sunday night. We really do appreciate that. You've got Kathy Santomassino, Aubrey Kahn, and myself, Christopher Hart, in the studio. And Sonny is going to join us live from California here in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, we got a little bit more weird stuff for you.
Well, where do snails go when they've been removed from an abscess? And this kid that I was talking about before the break, he actually took the snail home and wanted him to be a pet. However, the boy's family reported that once the animal was removed from its former abscess home, it died within 24 hours. So I guess that makes me think snails do not make very good pets.
I guess not.
And I love to eat them. Anyway, an Arizona woman, escargot, an Arizona woman who has woken up with different accents three times in the past 7 years, said doctors traced the unusual condition to a rare disease. Michelle Myers, a former beauty queen and mother of seven from Buckeye, said she has never even left the United States, but she woke from a headache-induced nap about 7 years ago to find she was speaking in an Irish accent. Myers said she suffered a headache so severe in 2015 that her right eye went temporarily blind, and she couldn't move the left side of her body. She was taken to the emergency room where she woke up with a British accent. That has been her with her ever since.
Hey, what?
Everybody only sees or hears Mary Poppins, Myers told KNXV-TV. They send in the psychiatrist at the hospital and make sure you're not a loon. Doctors said Myers isn't a loon at all. In fact, she isn't faking it. She has a condition called foreign accent syndrome, which usually follows a stroke or other condition that causes neurological damage. Myers suffers from a condition known as Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which includes rupturing blood vessels, easy bruising, and painful joints. Myers said she wants people to take her condition seriously. And seriously, that's SOS News for Sunday, February 18th.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. Little ditty there. All right. And don't forget, Kathy does a great job keeping our Facebook page relevant, pertinent, and funny. And you can go to American Adversaries on Facebook to follow us and get in on the fun and the action. Speaking of getting in on the fun and the action, you know, the Olympics are going on right now. And did you see where Lindsey Vonn has kind of blown her chance? You remember, she was a big critic of President Trump a while back. But she actually had an idea in the fall that on the surface of it sounds kind of funny or maybe ludicrous. But as if you look at the actual results, you might get swayed. But then if you look at the actual facts, you'll know what she's talking about is funny and ludicrous. She ventured the idea that men and women in the Olympics should be able to compete against one another in many of the events, including the downhill skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at downhill skiing information, you will see that in many of the events, the women, it appears, are as skillful and as fast as the men. But then when you look a little bit further, you see that the information that was gathered because women and men ski on different slopes. The men's slopes are more challenging than the women's slopes. So if the women want to step up and ski on the men's slopes, you cannot go by their past performances against one another to think that they'll do good against the men.
What do you hear in all these adverts for financial stuff? Past performance is not an indicator of future results.
And that goes true for the Olympics too, I guess.
But you know, Olympics are going to get sued pretty soon for only having two genders, because we've got 63 of them now.
So far and counting. All right, let's go to California Girl. Gorgeous lady of wrestling, that is. Sunny, our California girl, coming to us live. How you doing, Sunny?
Hi, definitely live. I'm a...
Hello?
Uh-oh. Oh, she's going through a canyon.
Ah.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll wait till she comes out on the other side of the canyon.
But in the meantime.
Yeah, but in the meantime. By the way, we had a caller last week inquiring about a school ban of the national anthem in California. Did a little research and found out, indeed, it is a school called in a town called San Ramon. I believe it's California High School in San Ramon, which is right outside of San Francisco. And what they have done is they have banned the national anthem being played at rallies, not necessarily at the school proper, but during rallies. All right, Sonny's back with us. So you're driving through canyons out there, are you?
Well, I'm driving home from work, guys. I tried to get out of work early, but I couldn't.
Okay.
So,
all right. So,
yeah, so for, as I'm heading up to the mountain range, it goes in and out. So
okay.
Hopefully it remains.
All right. Obviously, one of the big news events of the past week was the school shooting down here in Florida. Is it safe to assume that it's been getting a lot of attention in California?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not to mention that here where I'm at, we had another shooting in Bakersfield. There was actually not shooting, excuse me, there was bullets that left in a sink at a Bakersfield school here in Kern County.
So somebody just left some live ammunition on the campus.
Exactly. Right
okay.
After that. And to my understanding, you guys had another situation in Tampa.
Well, that was a number of weeks or a couple of months ago. And it wasn't nearly as bad as an event as this. But there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation out there about how many and how severe the school shootings have been since the first of the year. There are a lot of people out there saying that there's been 18 or 19 school shootings so far this year. As a matter of fact, I even heard one of the kids on this morning from this past week's school talking about how there have been 18 mass school shootings this year. That is absurd. It is a lie. It is not the case. There have been a couple of school shootings this year. Obviously, the one that happened this week was the worst. The one that happened in Tampa, I believe one or two people were shot. There's been an incident, if it wasn't December, it has been recently, I believe, in California, where you had a shooting. But for the most part, what they're talking about are not mass shootings. They're either accidental shootings, shootings that happened on school campuses when no one was there, or in an instance where a live round came into a school at night when no one was there from somewhere else in the city. These are now qualifying as school shootings. So there's a lot of nonsense going around. But then I want to ask you about Governor Jerry Brown, because, you know, people are worried about our kids at school, and rightfully so, and kids getting shot at school and stuff. Well, you had five school districts in California who passed ordinances that would allow teachers and school staff members who had concealed weapons carry permits to carry their weapons on campus so that they may protect the school students. Well, you had a bunch of liberals who didn't like that idea, so they have passed a law that will prohibit such things happening. Is California providing police protection for schools in lieu of allowing the school administrators to protect the students? In other words, is there a mass police presence around all the schools in California, or do they just leave them open?
No, there is in most schools. I would say in most not such promising areas. But there is, I believe, even in Beverly Hills, there's cops on the premises. We have black and whites at every school that I've seen here. So, you know, that doesn't mean it's still not going to happen. However, I so disagree with Governor Brown, because I believe that the teachers should be trained and be prepared for this situation and be armed to protect their students, not as a body shield, but to start firing back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because it's so sad that our teachers have to lose their life in protecting these students. It's just wrong.
I know it.
It's just wrong.
It is. And, of course, nobody is really talking about that. They're all talking about how they can, you know, prevent the guns from getting in the hands of kids like this, or people who want to do harm to others. And, of course, that's a lost cause. I mean, certainly we can do smart things, but to think that passing a law preventing somebody from getting a gun, if they want one, they're going to get it. And if they don't get a gun, they're going to get something else in order to do their evil deed with. So at the end of the day, it really all does come down to being able to protect ourselves and others, because there are going to be bad people out there, regardless of the laws.
Yes, exactly.
Well, is there any...
Again, it's not the guns. It's the mental illness. And you know what's disturbing is that this kid, you know, probably is definitely mentally, you know, disturbed, and has been warned by our FBI, by many other people, and look what happened. And now he's pleading to the fact guilty, but against the death penalty. I honestly think that this kid should get the death penalty, because he took 17-plus lives and has no remorse. This kid is showing no remorse. It's horrible. You know, it's just wrong, in my opinion. And I'm just fed up with it, you know?
Well,
yes, he's a kid, but do we give him sympathy? Do we? No.
Well, he is
absolutely not.
He's technically an adult by Florida law, 18 years old. He's an adult, so he's going to be tried as an adult. What the defense attorney is she's asking, basically, for leniency. She's offering a deal. The prosecutors have said that they're not making that decision at this point. But what she's offering is he'll plead guilty if they just give him a life sentence in prison. See, the problem for him is this is an open and shut case. They don't need a plea from this guy. They can easily get a conviction. So she's just desperate to try to save the kid's life and do what she can as an attorney, which is her job. But at the end of the day, if there ever was an instance where you'd want to use the death penalty, certainly this would qualify for it. There's no question about that. But I want to get back to what Jerry Brown has done. Is there any outcry? Is there any backlash? Or are Californians only happy with what he's done?
No, nobody's happy. No Californian, by the way, as far as I know, including where I work, you know, and I work for the state, they disagree with Governor Brown on everything that he has done so far.
Right.
you know, we're not happy. No, no. And even the ones who voted for Hillary or the liberals, whatever, they're not happy with Brown. The ones who live here in California, because they see what he's done. He's just, you know, he's horrible this term. He's horrible, horrible. I don't know what he's thinking or what he's doing, but he's making the state of California just turning upside down. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's destroying.
Evidently, people are leaving California as well as a result of it. In particular, I guess, in the San Francisco area, you're seeing a lot of people leaving because of the taxes and the environment there in and around San Francisco. Of course, now he's being term limited out. He cannot run for reelection. Is there, to your knowledge, is there a favorite right now in the race for the next governor?
Actually, I don't know, but here's a remark I heard today from our interpreter, of whom I work with, Mike Deegan. He said, you know, and this has happened several times, he goes, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger did a better job than Governor Brown. We needed someone back like him at this point, you know, and I've heard that.
Yeah.
He said, why? Yeah. So, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible. So yeah. We'll see what happens before he destroys more of California. But, yeah, a lot of people are talking about moving. They're just unhappy, you know. It's a sad situation. So I hope Trump follows through with a lot of things because his vision will help California.
Right, indeed. Right.
At least on immigration laws and getting a lot of these illegals out of here, I'll tell you that. And as far as the gun control, well, I certainly hope that he doesn't follow Governor Brown and his ridiculous. I don't know what he's thinking, guys. I really don't.
Well, he obviously thinks he's, you know, in his mind, he's doing the right thing. But any time that you leave people vulnerable to criminals and evil people, it's not the right thing to do. And unfortunately, that's what we're being pushed more and more toward. And unfortunately, in this particular case, you have kids now who have entered into the political fray, and it's going to be it's a sad situation because these kids don't know really what they're talking about, and yet the media is treating them as though they're heroes, and it's unfortunate because you have a lot of people here who are emotionally distraught and angry over this situation. And yet nobody's really talking sense, or at least very few people are anyway. And that's only going to be bound to make the situation worse in the long run.
Oh, yeah. So. Yes, indeed it is. And I think we also need to step up more, I guess, some sort of system where we can, vision, hindsight 2020 on mental illness, but to figure out, to stop these people that do have mental illness, diagnose them before they were ever allowed to be around any type of gun or knife. Oh, the knife situation, I believe that's in China. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That also happened. We also have copycat deals happening as well, which I think the kids think is kind of cool. Like, oh, he got by with it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, well, plus, you know, there's the glorification. Oh, he got his name and picture in the newspaper type thing. But, yeah, there was a school attack in China. Aubrey and I were talking about it during the break. Happened a couple of years ago. This guy attacked students and teachers in a school in China, killed like 20 or 30 of them, and injured a bunch of other ones with a knife. He had a big old knife.
Yeah.
So, once again, people who are going to do bad things are going to find a way to do it. And a gun is just one method of doing it. How about, are people talking about the fact that the FBI had been tipped off twice on this guy and didn't do anything about it? Are people angry about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course they're angry. They're angry like I'm angry. It was a bad mistake. It's a flawed system. It is, and it's sad. And that's why we've got more people walking around. I see it here even, you know, are on drugs, mental illness, walking around. We had some kid that was on our property, our historical land. He was on a bike, and he went up on this hill. You're not supposed to be on a hill with shrubbery. He took his bicycle and thought he could climb it, literally.
Right.
So we had our thing has been coming after this kid. This kid was so high, and yet they had to tackle him. We had to call our supervisor, you know, Sheriff Gorman, and say, listen, this is not good. I was in the office. I wasn't aware of it. But right. This kid was gone and didn't want to listen. He was hiding in the bushes. We're like, what the heck?
He's probably...
he was... And then this guy, he said he was definitely on drugs and out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we don't treat mental illness like an illness. We treat it like a crime. Do you know where the institution is that has more mental patients than any other institution in the country? Do you know what it is? You want to take a guess, Aubrey?
D.C.
No, the Los Angeles County Jail. Right, and the second most institution with the most mental patients is Rikers Island Jail in New York.
You know, they got that guy that delivers the medications to the people in the House and the Senate, and he has reported that the majority of the pills that he is taking are for Alzheimer's.
Who did that?
The pharmacy people.
About who?
The people in the House and the Senate.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said somebody in particular.
That's why I said in D.C.
Right. Okay. All right, Sonny, we got to let you go tonight. You stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. You guys as well. You know, my prayers are with Florida.
Thank you.
It's a tragedy. A beautiful, beautiful school, beautiful area, beautiful, beautiful kids that live in fear now because of this. And, you know, so something's got to stop.
Yep. We got to secure our schools and protect our kids and make it obvious to them they are being protected. All right. Thanks, Sonny.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, guys. Okay.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye. All right. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up tonight's show. Don't forget, you still got 3 great hours to go tonight with Mark Walters and Armed American Radio. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about the incident itself and about the fallout. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Former WWE Intercontinental Wrestling Champion. You are listening to the American Adversaries on WORL AM 660 and FM 105.5. You better tune in or it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Okay. All right. What we do around here sometimes is play some great Lloyd Marcus tunes because it's kind of, you know,
appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate and spiritual food. So tonight we're going to leave you with his tune, We Are Americans. We've played it here often. We'll play it more often, I guess, more times, I guess. But it's quite appropriate in instances like this for help us just kind of remember who we are as Americans. So once again, Mark Walters coming up next. He'll take you till 11 o'clock with Armed American Radio. We'll be back tomorrow. Happy President's Day. And don't forget, please like us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. So here's Lloyd Marcus with We Are Americans. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
We are Americans. Good people. By God, a unique experiment which has survived against all odds. With courage and compassion and a grateful Americans, you and me, stay strong, Americans, in your quest to restore liberty. It's up to you and me to bring us back where we should be. To the words of our fathers, penned in truth.